a lot of investors are surprised to learn that these cash flow returns that they could receive passively in real estate syndications are real, right? The key is to putting your doubts and skepticism to rest, is to understand where that cash flow comes from and how it makes its way from the asset itself down to your pocket. Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode. All right, welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Steven, I'm your host. Today, we're going to be talking about where does cash flow come from? So you hear us talk about the reason that we like to invest in a lot of these deals is because you have two ways of making money. Long-term appreciation, right? Which is where we're getting the exit distributions based on the value of the property increasing in value over time. And then my favorite is the cash flow. Where are we making dividend or distribution payments to ourselves and to our investors through these types of deals? And the reason that it's a big deal is because you're not finding this type of cash flow distribution in very many other investment ideas, right? You can't go to Wall Street and say, hey, I want to put my money into a mutual fund, and then whatever the gains are, I want you to distribute them to me every quarter. It's not how it works. It's not predictable enough for them to be able to say that they can do that, number one. And number two, you can't collect cash flow from those types of dividend paying policies. So this is why we like real estate, because it gives us passive cash flow so that that cash flow can start to offset our expenses. And when you have that income that finally pays off your expenses on a monthly basis, you're financially free. So one of the only investment vehicles that can do that. But where does that cash flow actually come from? You know, I think we find a lot of the investors that are thinking about investing with us think that it sounds too good to be true to be able to take these quarterly distributions. Well, you're not alone. A lot of investors are surprised to learn that these cash flow returns that they could receive passively in real estate syndications are real, right? The key is to putting your doubts and skepticism to rest, is to understand where that cash flow comes from and how it makes its way from the asset itself down to your pocket, right? And that's what we're going to cover today. So cash flow distributions. Typically in the first few months after closing, you can start to see monthly cash flow distributions, right? We do it in a quarterly payment. Some deals we do monthly, but typically it's quarterly payments. And then, you know, you have income come in, you have expenses go out, then you have net operating income, which is distributed to the investors. How is it that these investments are so lucrative, and where does that money really come from is what we're going to be talking about today. So every investment property, no matter the size or number of tenants, is an asset that generates income as well as expenses. So we'll talk about how apartment complexes generate income, the expenses they typically incur, and how that cash flow is calculated and then distributed. So number one, gross potential income. In the case of an apartment building, the main source of income is the tenant's rent that's due every month. As an example, let's say we have a 100-unit apartment building, you have $800 in rent. Great, gross potential rent would be $80,000 per month, which comes out to $960,000 per year. The annual gross potential income is that $960,000. Don't get too excited. That $96,000 is the potential income for the whole complex, assuming no vacancy, full rent payments, no expenses, no discounts, no first month rent free, no non-payers, things like that. And you have your net rental income. So you have vacancy costs, loss to lease, concessions. That decreases the potential income. And once they're removed, you're left with something called net rental income. So let's assume that 10% of the units are vacant, right? So 10 are empty. At $800 a month, the monthly vacancy cost is $8,000. The vacancy cost of $8,000 will give you $96,000 per year that's coming off of that $960,000, right? And then to get from net rental income, we have to take the gross potential as if they were all going to be leased up, and then subtract out that vacancy cost, comes out to $864,000 of annual net rental income. And then you have operating expenses. I mean, don't forget, this is a business. There's operating expenses as well. Operating expenses are like maintenance, repairs, property management, cleaning, landscaping, utilities, legal, bank fees, pest control. I mean, all these things have to get paid. No two apartment buildings are the same, nor do they have the same needs or same expense structure. That being said, if you're buying things across a particular geographic area and you know kind of what your typical cost per unit is for one or two of these things, it's good information to have, right? We go through our portfolio and see on average what does this expense for this particular thing cost us per unit. So even though they're not all the same, they do get close. So let's presume the total projected monthly operating expense is 38 grand, which works out to be about 456,000 a year. Then our team is going to work towards doing two things: reducing these expenses over time and increasing that net income over time. So we can usually see this stuff in the underwriting when we are seeing what the current operator has things at, and then we can compare it to the rest of our portfolio and see, is there room to make operational changes here so that we can save some money? And is there room here for us to do some net rental increase because they're under market rents or some other variable? Thank you so much for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. We're excited that you're listening and tuning in every week, but we want to have a two-way conversation with you, not just a one-way conversation. So go to integrityhg.com/webinar and join us on one of our weekly webinars where you can meet me, meet the team, have a conversation, and let's really talk about your investing goals and how we can help. So net operating income, or NOI, is what's left from the net rental income after operating expenses. So we have 864 minus the 456 we talked about. So you're $408,000 net operating income. If this is confusing, don't worry about it. I know it's a lot of numbers, and we'll type all this stuff out so you guys can actually see it on paper. But the important thing to remember is that you want the net operating income to be a positive number and as high as possible so the asset has potential to generate a profit and create cash flows that we're talking about. So let's talk about the mortgage. As with any property purchase, you have to pay the lender. Much like a single family home purchase, a loan on a commercial property consists of a down payment and a loan amount. We'll just use 25% down and 75% debt as the loan. So in this case, let's say the group owes about 20 grand a month, $240,000 a year in mortgage payments. Then that number is taken off of, right, your net operating income number. So we've subtracted the expenses from the income. We arrive at our cash flow for the first year. Now, keep in mind that a number of factors change in subsequent years as our team optimizes the property and decreases expenses, so that the cash flow figures tend to increase over time, right? Not guaranteed, but that's the whole goal. So first year, we're looking at $408,000 of net operating income, $240,000 mortgage. You have $168,000 first year total cash flow. And then this number gets split up between the general partners, which is us, the limited partners, which is our investors. And that's how the cash flow is calculated, right? So our deals are structured in such of a way where you have a preferred return to the investors, so they know what that cash flow is going to be based that's coming out of the net operating income. Right. And when you look at deals with us and you sign up for our investor club, you'll see each deal is different and we lay that all out for you. But this is where your net operating income turns into cash flow. So, you know, every, $100,000 could be, $500, $600, $700 a month, right, in passive income coming back to you based on, first year cash flow distributions. So the cash flow that arrives in your bank account every month or every quarter originates from the rent that the tenants pay. Then we deduct the expenses, pay the mortgage, pay the taxes, insurance, and then what's left over is divided and shared with investors. So is it guaranteed income? No, right? Absolutely not. There's nothing guaranteed. Considering all the variables, right? The location, the team member, the tenants, the economy, and much, much more, it's important to keep in mind that these are, although useful numbers, just estimates. Projections are fun to track, but should never be taken as absolute truth. And, that's a big deal when vetting a sponsor, is to ask them, well, what does it look like from your projected to your actuals on the last deal that you did, right? Is it close? Are they running projections that are reasonable, Did they run into hiccups? If so, why? How did they fix those hiccups? You know, so anyway, cash flow is the reason that we like to get into these things. Does it fluctuate? Yes. Is it controllable? Yes. And that's why we like it. You know, so now that you have a better understanding of where cash flow in real estate comes from, you should be able to more thoroughly understand and look at the figures that you see in a pro forma and investment summary and see if it's going to fit your investment model. And if it does, awesome. And you get to ask some questions and you kind of know how to proceed with that deal. So hopefully this is helpful where cash flow comes from in real estate syndications. Till next time, thanks for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. As always, consider yourself, we consider ourselves blessed to have you listening. And remember to go out and invest with purpose. Thanks for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.